Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Row, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 join us at 7:30. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Casey Alexander, Belmont men's basketball coach, will join us at 8 o'clock. Big game for Belmont tonight against Bradley. We will discuss that with him coming up at 8 o'clock. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Joe, going to be a lot of discussion with Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward over the next few months here. Should the Titans draft one of those guys? Should the Titans pass on both of those guys? Should the Titans go the veteran quarterback route? And we've discussed some of that already. My question for you today is just simply this. Who do you think is going to be the better pro when everything's said and done, when their careers are over? Who do you think is going to end up being the better pro football player? Will it be Cam Ward? Will it be Shedeur Sanders? How do you view what both of them could be at the NFL level? And how do you view kind of the skill set that each of them bring to the table?
I'll go with Scott in Hoptown. Who has the better NFL career is whichever QB doesn't come to the Titans.
Wow.
Hey, Scott. I get your optimism. I get your pessimism right now. I do. Two things. First of all, I'm not changing from I'm out on the whole thing. I don't think anything's going to change my mind. I just don't think either of them are going to be great or have careers that are going to end up in retrospect warranting the one or the two pick that high. I just don't think so. But I'm also going to stick with I definitely would draft Shedeur Sanders over Cam Ward. As much as I certainly at times love watching, I mean, I love watching Cam Ward play. It's an absolute, amusement park ride of fun. But and he has a ton of talent, and his arm talent at times is ridiculous. I go with accuracy over most things, and that's where I think Shedeur is very good. And so I would go with him. In either case, you're not talking about, you're really not talking about like a run threat, not really. I mean, neither of them are like statues, like Jared Goff, for example. But anybody who wants to like tie like Jaden Daniels to these two guys, no, Jaden Daniels is one of the best runners I've ever seen at quarterback. Like, seriously. He has a knack. He can accelerate and just keep things alive while keeping his eyes downfield. But then also, I mean, he can rip off a 40-yarder like nothing. It's not even – these guys have nothing like that in their skill set. So, like, erase that idea, first of all. Now, the Jaden Daniels is going to be now the new – can we get a Jaden Daniels? I mean, there's just not one, even to me, even close in this draft. But I like Shedeur better. I just think he's more accurate and and also I think you look at some of the throws. I mean, his arm talent is definitely very good too, beyond just, it's not like he's just like Kirk Cousins with like accuracy, but doesn't have a big arm. He's got a big enough arm.
Yeah. I think he's got a good arm. I think Cam Ward has got an exceptional arm at times. Like I think his like, there's a lot to like about Cam Ward. I mean, just in terms of the ability to make every throw you're looking for, he's got it. Like, some of the plays that he made this year at Miami were unbelievable. Now, the holdup with Cam Ward, I think, is also some of the plays he made this year at Miami were unbelievable the wrong way, right? Like, that's the problem at that point. So, how quickly could he be an NFL player, a really good NFL player? That I don't know the answer to. And maybe, sometimes with those guys, it just doesn't work out. Like, they're never really able to consistently deliver the football accurately enough. And look, it's not like he's just – Cam Ward's like some inaccurate passer. Like, he completed, I think, 67% of his passes this year. So it's not like there's, some big inaccuracy problem with him. Sometimes it's just the decision-making, right? Like, some of the decisions that he makes with the football are a bit reckless at times. So, number one, can you coach that at the NFL level? And can you highlight some of the skill sets that he brings to the table that are really good without, you know, some of the reckless play in there? Like, does that take away from some of the things that he does really well? My answer is Cam Ward. Like, I think long-term, Cam Ward is going to be a better player than Shedeur Sanders will be at the NFL level. I just, if it were me, and this is part of what we're going to get into here in the next few minutes, Joe, if it were me, I don't know that I would play Cam Ward immediately. I just don't know that you can afford that luxury when you're taking a quarterback number one overall.
Yeah, it's just right. Obviously, it depends on your situation. But, I mean, I think it'd be great in any case to sit a quarterback for a year or as much of a year as you can. You know, something that's already coming on the text line, and we've kind of dunked on it some, but I will say it's not as, to me, off the wall as I think people are going to make it out to be, which is the Cam Ward's too similar to Levis thing. You know, we've seen Levis in the NFL now.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to say, oh, God, not even close. But as prospects, like 2 years ago, Levis coming out. Again, some people are talking about him. I mean, the number one pick thing was like that kind of brief thing. But certainly, well, Levis was expected to go in the top 10. And Will Levis, to me, absolutely a better athlete than Cam Ward. I mean, you know, Will Levis, the Josh Allen comparisons ended up being bad. I mean, no one's like him, you know, as a runner. But, like, you could see it with Levis with some of what he did at Kentucky. But, you know, it's like the unknown being undefeated thing, a part of this, is when someone goes and all the warts are exposed in the NFL, it's like you think back and you forget that they were very highly thought of prospects. And Levis was. And I think as prospects, absolutely there's a comparison there in terms of just the death picks and the hero ball stuff that, you know, that tends to rise up and bite them. You know, I mean, I think that there's something to that comparison.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill. Jared, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hope you had a great weekend.
Thank you.
But weighing in on this, I would definitely side with Shedeur just from the standpoint of if the Titans pick him, let's look at it from this standpoint, or this is what I have to try to look through it as. If the Titans pick Shedeur, there's no, you know, sure pass catcher over the middle like a Brock Bowers or somebody. The line is still very bad. And I don't think – and I think that Callahan is going to have to play the quarterback if he drafts him to prove that of his worth around here. So, having said all that, Sanders, to me, has showed the best fundamentals that's going to be able to get him on the field as a rookie and then stay on the field as a rookie – leaning on those fundamentals, hopefully avoiding injuries, staying on time with his passes. Because, again, if you're Callahan and you draft Cam Ward and you sit him on the bench and then you lose out again, are you really sure you're going to have your job? Then the cycle starts yet again with another guy, which is why I feel like that if you clean house, you don't have to worry about this. But looking at it from a Titans standpoint, I think Shedeur gives you the best right now sizzle in the pan with his fundamentals than the other guys. But I'm here to see it all fold out because, you know, it's the Titans. And the Harbaughs have this saying, who's got it better than we do? Nobody. Well, as a Titans fan, who's got it better than we do? Everybody. See y'all later.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it.
Well,
you know,
done.
A lot of things, you know, I would agree that Shedeur Sanders is probably more ready to play in the NFL right now than Cam Ward is. Like, to me, if I'm a Titans fan, though, I don't really care about that. Like, if I'm Brian Callahan, I care about that. I want who's going to be the best player in the NFL. And if you believe that that is Cam Ward long-term more than Shedeur Sanders, then draft Cam Ward. I don't really care if he's ready to play at a high level next year. Now, I realize my job's not on the line, so it's a different situation. Like, Brian Callahan, I think, certainly would prefer a quarterback that's ready to play next year. But as like a Titans fan, I don't care about that. Give me the one that you think is going to be the best option long term.
I agree for sure. Now, if you're Brian Callahan, you could also, I mean, this is where it's like, how does Amy look at it in terms of Well, Brian Callahan's keeping his job. That tells me that they still value and believe in his ability to develop a young quarterback. I mean, that's one of the biggest selling points, right? And so that, again, they're just blaming Levis. And he was unteachable or whatever. I don't know. Just not good enough. That's fine. So if you do believe that, I mean, you could look at it like it actually might buy him more time if you have a rookie year where you take it slow, you know, and you're counting on him to develop him. But here's another thing I'd say about the whole camp, like ready to play. You may be right that, you know, that Shadur is more ready to play. I mean, I guess I could buy that. But it may just be that this is just what Cam Ward is as a player. And so you can sit him, and he's going to come in and be like, oh, I can make that throw. Like, so, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Again, I keep going back to Brett Favre, but it's like that never changed with him. He was a gray-beard veteran in the NFL and still doing like, no, but had the talent to often overcome that with 330 and three touchdowns and go with the pick six. I mean, I don't know if it's a matter of like, you know, take a year and strip down his game and get him ready, or if it's just like, this is what you're getting with this guy, you know, and it may be good enough with the ability he has that you can overcome that. But I'm scared away from that, frankly.
615.
Maybe it's a little bit of recency bias having watched, you know, Levis this last year.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the Shadur Sanders Cam Ward discussion, including one scenario where I'm okay with the Titans drafting a quarterback and signing one this offseason. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight for Vanderbilt men's basketball. Commodores taking on Alabama with a 6 o'clock tip-off and pregame at 5:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Vanderbilt men's basketball presented by Athletes Unlimited Pro Basketball, coming to Nashville's Municipal Auditorium February the 5th through March the 2nd. Go to auprobasketball.com for more details and to purchase tickets. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership where the buzz is always about great service. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 will join us here in about 12 minutes. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. So, Joe, in general, I do not love the idea of what some have suggested to us the last couple of weeks of drafting a quarterback and signing a quarterback in free agency. I think there are too many holes on this team where you can allocate some of those resources elsewhere. I in a perfect world, would like to see them really pick one path or the other, either draft the quarterback and have him ready to play or go sign the veteran free agent and address other needs in the draft. Having said that, there's really, like, I guess, one scenario where I'd at least be okay with the Titans going this route. Let's say you get through the draft process and you're convinced that Cam Ward has the tools to be a really, really good NFL quarterback. You think he can end up being an elite guy for you. But maybe you feel like he needs half a season on the bench to really learn your offense, to be coached by Brian Callahan, and to work on some of those habits maybe that are concerning to you at the NFL level. Would it make sense at that point to draft Cam Ward and also prior to that in free agency – go out and sign a Justin Fields or somebody of that mold to be kind of your bridge guy until Cam Ward would be ready at that point? Again, I don't love that idea, but that would probably be the only scenario where I'd be okay with it, is if you feel like maybe Cam Ward needs a little bit of time this year before he's ready to play in game one. Now, the counter argument to that, Joe, would be, all right, well, if you feel like Cam Ward needs that much time, do you really need to draft him with a first overall pick, which is a fair counterpoint?
Yeah, but like you just said earlier, well, yeah, if you think he's going to end up being great, if you think that it's going to take a little time and he's going to be great, then sure. I mean, you draft anybody at number one, eventually he's going to be great. You don't have to be instantly great in this league. I hate to do the tried and true Peyton Manning comparison, but he was not great as a rookie.
He was not.
31 picks. Got to play through it. And there's another example, too, of, you know, he was on, I think it was like Kevin Clark's podcast, making the interesting point. It's like, I think playing through it, there's a lot of value of playing through it if you can get through it, right, and keep your confidence. But then obviously we see all these examples of not playing through it, of sitting and that paying off. So it's just different for different people. Well, I think if, as I've said, I don't hate Justin Fields as an idea in general. Yeah, and that could be a competition too. I mean, it's kind of like what the Steelers did this year.
Yeah.
They, you know, I think the idea was probably all along that Russell Wilson was going to end up getting a starting job, but he was hurt. Justin Fields was winning early, and it was like maybe Justin Fields turned the corner, but ultimately he just wasn't good enough. Then Wilson was better when he came in there. But that was kind of like a that same sort of idea, although with two veterans, just one way more veteran than the other. You know, if you brought in Justin Fields, let Cam Ward sit, and then maybe Justin Fields does turn a corner, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, you've actually got a guy that you can start for a while, and maybe Cam Ward has to sit for an extended period of time. But, okay, I mean, again, that's worked for some franchises too. I don't hate the idea. The reason I hate it most is just that you need so many players at so many positions. How do you get competitive if you're spending that many resources on quarterback?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, again, in a perfect world, I really don't love the idea of signing a veteran and drafting a quarterback number one. Now, having said that, I mean, the quarterback is undoubtedly the most important position on the roster. So making sure that you get that position right is paramount in this discussion. So really, regardless of how you do it, as long as it's right, nobody's going to care at the end of the day, and you can address some other holes on your roster later, theoretically. But it would be great to just pick a path and have that player come in, be ready to go, and then you could also address needs elsewhere. Keith on the text line says, draft one of the quarterbacks, have him sit on the bench and watch Levis and learn what not to do. It's from Keith on the text line. Levis catching some strays on the text line today.
Well, then you could be in position to draft another quarterback next year.
Yeah, exactly.
You could have a three-way competition. It's just an absolute quarterback surplus.
I got one text that says, great idea. Let's give our coach that can't develop quarterbacks two of them, one that's washed up at best and another that he'll ruin. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Well, there's definitely on the text line a fair amount of why would you believe that Brian Callahan can develop a quarterback? Again, if you don't know. If you don't, then you don't have much going on there. You know, does Will Levis's season of 2024 prove it? I wouldn't necessarily say that, but I understand there's a talented guy, a lot of arm talent, great athlete, smart kid, and it didn't work out. So how much of that is on Brian Callahan? I mean, the Titans have made it. Yeah, he just doesn't have it, you know? He's just not good enough. I mean, I do believe that's true sometimes. Like, it can be true that a QB guru doesn't develop a quarterback because that quarterback isn't good enough, and then someone else can come along and they can have success with them, right?
Sure.
And then you can get into, was it that they developed him, or is it they just lucked out to get this good guy now?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, there's nothing that happened this year with Brian Callahan that I feel good about moving forward, right? Like, I'm not sitting here on January 21st saying, yeah, you know, I really am confident in Brian Callahan doing this moving forward. I also am willing to give him at least an opportunity now that they've elected to keep him here. I mean, like, you got to give him an opportunity to see, was it just Will Levis? Like, was Will Levis the problem? And you're going to get an opportunity either with a veteran quarterback or a drafted quarterback to show that you still can develop a quarterback if it's a rookie, or that you can manage a quarterback if it's a veteran and build a system that you can win more football games with. Like, I understand. Like, there's no reason right now to feel great about Brian Callahan. I'm not just going to totally dismiss the idea that he can't develop a quarterback either, just based on 1 year of Will Levis.
Yeah. No, I'm not either, but I get the idea too. As a caller earlier said, you know, this, if you're going to do the drafted QB, you have this lame duck, you know, then start over. You have the lame duck coach. I know it's only 1 year, but in this league, 1 year can be enough, as we've seen. We're seeing it over and over again that we have 1 year coaching tenures in the NFL, and certainly we have 2 year coaching tenures in the NFL. There's no doubt about that. And so if that's the case, then you start over. Yeah, it's developing the quarterback, but like you said, Robbie, it's also like fitting what you do around that quarterback's skill set.
Yeah.
Then I don't know that that was an issue with Levis this year or not. I know there was some talk about, you know, Callahan and, you know, Burrow is one of the great short intermediate guys in the league. Not that he didn't throw deep to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, but he was really good at that. Whereas Levis, if there's one thing that he does extremely well, better than other things, it's you know, vertical shots down the field. Did they do enough of that, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, ultimately, it just gets hard to even know when a quarterback is under the kind of duress that Titans quarterbacks were under this year.
It's all muddled.
You can talk yourself into either side.
We'll have Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the quarterback discussion for the Titans, his thoughts on the hiring of Mike Borgonzi as general manager, all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Steve Lehman from News Channel 5, talking all things Tennessee Titans. Steve, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Maybe it's just how early it is, but I sort of feel like I went back in a time warp this morning. The Big Ten is consecutive national champions in football. What's going on there?
I know. It's wild. Tough times for the SEC. just rough right now. Got to get back on top. Can't let the Big Ten run away with it.
It's incredible, and no signs of stopping. Ohio State with the resources they have, Michigan's coming back with Bryce Underwood at quarterback. So there's some good teams up there, not that the SEC is going to go away, but it definitely looks like a two-conference race here moving forward.
Yep, there's no doubt about that. So, Steve, it has been a very busy couple of weeks here for the Tennessee Titans. Rand Carthon out as general manager. They've gone through their search with Chad Brinker leading the way. And Mike Borgonzi from the Chiefs is where they land for their next GM. What do you make of that move and the way that this offseason has transpired to this point for the Titans, with Brian Callahan remaining on staff, Rand Carthon being out, and now Borgonzi in as GM?
There's a lot going on there. I think, like anything that happens with this team right now, Robbie, you almost have to wait and see to judge any type of move that they make, because there's just been so much uncertainty about the direction they're trying to go. And even in this situation, I think the dismissal of Rand Carthon raised so many questions about what the organizational hierarchy was the last couple of years and what he was truly responsible for this past year. And I think now you get a little bit more clarity with Chad Brinker being truly the guy at the top of the food chain in the football department, and Mike Borgonzi coming in to be the guy in a lot of ways essentially to buy the groceries for what the roster is going to look like as general manager. And he has a great pedigree and background with that. What he did with that group in Kansas City looks really good on paper. I think he's a tremendous candidate that they got, and so I give them props for that. But if you look at where Rand Carthon came from, San Francisco had a really good track record when they got him a couple of years ago too.
Yep.
Now, the experience level between those two guys is completely different. Rand Carthon was pretty early on in a pro personnel type of role in San Francisco. He was not the top guy there. And so to come in and be the general manager that was really in charge of everything, especially after Mike Vrabel was let go, now all of a sudden, like, everything falls on Rand Carthon. I'm not sure if he gets that job if Mike Vrabel wasn't the head coach in that situation, because I think they thought they had such a strong-willed head coach that they were willing to give a lot of the responsibility to and a lot of the final say to at the time. Now you have a much different situation than that. So Mike Borgonzi comes in with a ton of responsibility when it comes to this football roster. I think he's going to have significant say over some of the coaching decisions and the staff decisions that Brian Callahan makes as well. And so I think you have a little bit more of an idea of what the structure actually is going to look like. But they've changed it so many times over the last 4 years. Why do we think this structure is now going to be the one that works? And so while I think the hire is a good one, at least on paper, we can only wait and see how it actually plays out.
Right. Like, I agree. He's a guy who, you know, if you hired someone that other could have gotten another GM job or other GM jobs, that means something. And he has had a key role there by all accounts. But the Titans, to me, have said different things about Brinker's power just in the last couple weeks. So I have no, yeah. I mean, I have no idea. They have an incredible knack for making things as confusing as possible, which at this point I have to look at as intentional to some degree. But another key there, of course, Steve, moving forward, is Brian Callahan. And we've talked some about him today, and, you know, obviously quarterback development, which is a big selling point with him, and he's coaching a bad roster last year. He's trying to work with a quarterback who I think independently did some things that, you know, no one would ever coach someone to do, but still it was a bad year. So what do you think of Brian Callahan as a coach based on the information available and his standing right now in this organization?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it would have been the easier move at the end of the season, especially with the number one pick, to just clean house completely and try to bring in all new people with the understanding that you're moving forward and put them all at a level playing field. Put them at square one so you can do the full evaluation of every piece of it over the next couple of seasons. They decided not to do that. I think that's frankly the harder decision in this because it keeps everybody at like these stair-stepped levels within the organization about how long they've been there and what their power level is. You have to strain really hard to see areas where the Titans showed promise under Brian Callahan. You've got to dig deep into the analytics to things like third down conversion rate and stuff like that in short yardage situations and all that to find an offense that lives up to any level of the expectation that you would have had for Brian Callahan coming in. That said, two things stand out to me about what happened with the Titans offense last year. Number one, if you watched the divisional round of the playoffs this weekend, I don't know if I saw Will Levis or Mason Rudolph have as much time at any point in the season that any one of those quarterbacks had during the four divisional games over the past weekend. You simply cannot function if you cannot stand back in the pocket in the NFL and dissect the field and throw the ball where it needs to go. And the Titans still, just like a couple of years ago, didn't have an offensive line to do that consistently. And then the second part of that, and again, look at the divisional games this weekend. All four teams that lost in the divisional round this weekend actually had the most total yards in the game. But they also had the most turnovers in the game, and the quarterbacks turned the ball over the most in the game. And that's how you lose. And the Titans turned the ball over an incredible 34 times this season, the vast majority of those coming from the quarterback position, some of them in head-scratching ways that I've never seen before. You cannot win like that. And I think that's where you have to come back at the end and ultimately say, okay, if we're trying to assign blame here, most of the blame goes on Will Levis in the quarterback position. And so if you can change the quarterback and maybe upgrade the offensive line a little bit, you can get a little bit more of an evaluation. And so the way I look at it this year, guys, I look at it that this is the true Brian Callahan evaluation. Last year, you really looked at it as, what do we have in Will Levis? Can we actually get a franchise quarterback out of a guy that we got in the second round of the draft? And I think by all accounts, you have your answer right now. You don't. And so now you go into this season with a new quarterback, and the evaluation is as much on Brian Callahan as anybody else. Can Brian Callahan, with a different guy back there, succeed as a head coach and a play caller?
So, Steve, speaking of quarterback, I mean, you know, obviously we still got 3 months from now until the draft, but how do you view what the solution is at quarterback for the Titans? Should it be a Shedeur Sanders or a Cam Ward? Are there veteran options that either are available or could realistically be available that interest you? How do you view what the Titans should do at quarterback this offseason?
I think we're still a little ways away from figuring it out. We got to get more information about what these top two quarterbacks in the rookie class look like. And frankly, after this playoff performance, does Will Howard get any love in this? I mean, he threw for more yards and more touchdowns. I know he had a couple extra games than C.J. Stroud did at Ohio State. I think maybe there should be a conversation about his poise, his toughness, his size, his arm strength, all of that stuff as you come into it. But ultimately, they have to look at all those guys because this is the most important decision for this franchise over the next few years. When you have the new stadium looming out there, if you hit with the quarterback, it may not mean you're a playoff team this next year, but you at least have some positive momentum moving forward over the next couple of years. If you don't, and you go through another season next year similar to what they just went through, I don't know if there's going to be anybody there in the month of December next year, and how you move that forward to try to sell more tickets in the new building, that becomes really challenging. And so, as Brian Callahan said, they have to turn over every stone to try to figure this out and identify whether it's one of those guys in the draft class that they can and should take at number one overall, or if there's some other guy out there that you can identify. Me personally, I think the best possible situation, because I don't love anybody in this draft class, the best possible situation is falling in love with a veteran that you can bring in into this situation and be serviceable. I don't think you're getting a star there. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the answer. But is there a guy that Brian Callahan can show his offense off to, operate at the level he wants to, maybe not with a superstar, but with someone solid, and then you build up your roster in other places, starting with maybe a trade back that gets you a few more assets in a draft that you don't have a ton of draft selections. I think that's the perfect world, but who is that guy out there? That's something that they would have to identify, and obviously they'd have to make it happen in March. So I think you know that answer here in a couple of months, not all the way in late April. If they go out and they make something happen in March, then you have the option to try to pursue a trade and do something different with that pick. I don't see a world, guys, where if they don't do that in March, you aren't taking a quarterback at number one, because if you have the number one pick and you need a quarterback, you've got to take a quarterback.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Will Howard. Steve, we did talk a little bit about that earlier. I don't know that he's high prospect. But I considered him a non-prospect, like I still consider Riley Leonard going into the playoff, and I think he at least made himself draftable here with this run, right? I mean, he was pretty spectacular for sure at times. I did want to quickly get your thoughts, Steve, on Ben Johnson to the Bears, a team, a franchise you know very well in your lifetime. Is this going to be it? Is this going to be the magical hire that brings Lombardi's back to Chicago?
Well, Joe, as you well know, I think fans have a feeling about organizations out there. And if you're not a very successful organization, you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I can just tell you, yesterday when the news broke, several of my friends who are diehard Bears fans living in Chicago, the response was essentially, I can't believe they got a hire right. Of course, we still have the same ownership and the same people in charge, so I'm just waiting for it to work out poorly. However, so they're already waiting for this to somehow get screwed up and not pan out the way they want. But on paper, they got the right guy. And, in a lot of ways, like the Titans last year, Brian Callahan was the most coveted first-time head coach in the pool. And what good did that do them last year? They had the worst record in the league. And so I think there's a lot of Bears fans that are concerned about that. But they finally got their offensive guy to pair with Caleb Williams, who did show a lot of promise last year as a rookie. And I think there's reasons to be excited there in a division that all of a sudden after the playoffs maybe doesn't look quite as much like a murderer's row as it did during the regular season.
Steve Lehman from News Channel 5, our guest here on the program. Steve, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we will talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, guys. Do me a favor. Give Casey a hard time for sleeping in when it comes on with you.
Oh, I will. I will absolutely do that. Appreciate it. Steve Lehman, our guest here on the program. We'll react to what Steve had to say, the Rex rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next as well. And as Steve threw out there, we have Casey Alexander coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. It is now that time of the day for the Rex rant. A little quick on the trigger there for Rob. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. You can check it out every morning here on the show. A lot of people on my personal text line very concerned about Joe's well-being with the bandage on his head. A lot of people very concerned about it, Joe. Just pointing that out.
Hey, first of all, let Keezer cook, man.
Yeah, that's my bad. Cook, okay? That's my bad. Sorry.
Right.
All right, well, I'll get to my head. I'll call this a little piece of advice for someone who works at a rental car place. That's ultimately what this is. But Jared's texting me like, what the hell happened to your head? So for those who didn't hear, yesterday we are coming back from Florida. We're at the Tampa airport. We are turning in the rental car, which is like a nice Hyundai Tucson. And I'm to the side of the car and I go to the back to like look and make sure nothing's still in the back. I think we got everything out. What I didn't realize is that someone had hit the button for it to start coming down. And so I sort of simultaneously went to look and all of a sudden the corner of the gate smacked me right in the head and it immediately hurt a lot. And all of a sudden blood started like going everywhere. So long story short on all that, you know, basically I was on a plane with a bloody bandage on it. It's like you forget, like people are staring at you. You're like, why are they staring at me? Oh, that's right. I look like a Saturday Night Live character, Head Wound Harry. Yeah, that's right. That's why they're staring at me. And I sent you guys a nice picture from the plane with my bloody bandage on. Ended up, you know, going to get stitches. I had to get a tetanus shot, of course. You got to get that tetanus shot because you have dirty metal in your head. The doctor, great job at the Vanderbilt Urgent Care, but you know, they treated me nicely. They had to, you know, clean it out and cut some hair out of there. And then I was told, well, that took about a 3-inch chunk out of your head that's still back in Tampa, and the hole's so big we can't even staple or stitch it. So here's like a foam clot thing that I have to go get. So if this ends up being like that, my beautiful lettuce is compromised for the rest of my life, you know, what am I gonna do? Like if I shave my head, like, you know, you and PK look nice with the clean domes, but now I got this big Harry Potter scar up here. I don't know what I'm gonna do. But here's my piece of advice. If you're working at a rental car place and a customer does something like this, and first of all, you may have been the one who hit the thing to go down, and a customer is sitting there like falling all over himself, blood all over the place, his kids are like trying to help, and I'm like, yeah, my dad's bleeding, don't sit there, punch up your thing and say, hey, does 280 sound right for the price, sir? I'm like, do you have a first aid kit?
Great time.
He's just like, hey, how's that? Dude, will you get me some medical equipment?
Did they get the price right?
Yeah. Well, I have no idea. Probably going to double charge me and cut my head open and really made off like a bandit. Finally, someone came with a first aid kit. We're all like fumbling through there and trying to like, and then like he was going to call 911. I'm like, dude, let's just get on the plane.
911? Good gracious.
Well, it was like, I don't know, it won't stop bleeding. What are we going to do? I mean, to be fair, he probably doesn't see stuff like this very often. But just if you see someone who's bleeding as much as I was, or it looked like the Hyundai Tucson was at a murder scene, focus on that. And then we'll talk about whether, like, you know, the prepaid gas worked out.
How was going through TSA with a gash in your head? What was that like?
Well, again, it's just like you're walking around and, you know, everybody's staring at you.
The security guard look at you and just be like, what happened to you?
I mean, everybody, a couple of people were like, you okay? Yeah. I mean, I was like, not only was I like that, I was like seriously in pain and like woozy. And then we got, you know, some food and some ibuprofen and it was better. But then later I had to go get myself, along with a tetanus, of course, you got to get those antibiotics going to get the dirty metal stuff out of your blood so it doesn't really cause a problem, and some painkillers. So I'm walking around a grocery store and I just put my hood on, you know, because I'm like, I don't want people to look at my head anymore. So I looked like a sinister character walking through the grocery store.
So are you okay? Like, or is this still ongoing? Like, are you, we feel like we're all good and the situation's under control, or is that still up in the air?
Well, I mean, as soon as we finish here, I'm going to go back into the same urgent care, and they're going to look at it. And I don't know. I don't know, man. They've cut a lot of hair out of there. I can tell you that, though. It's going to be I may be Mr. Hat Guy for a while.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. It's been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. We'll take your well wishes for Rex Road on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Casey Alexander, Belmont Men's basketball coach, will join us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.